Computer.
All right. Well, good evening, my friends. So we find ourselves on Chaf Tes Amud Aleph on 29A, and God willing, not tonight, but God willing, next week, which I guess is our final time before the holiday of Passover. We will be finishing the second parak of Sukkah. So nothing like an accomplishment, Maseches Sukkah. Before Pesach, after all, we did just recently learn about the Gezeirah Shavah of Tesvav Tesvav, which connects the first night of Pesach to the first night of Sukkot. Am I correct? Right? So, okay. Our heroes find themselves on, right? That's how they, you're watching one of those like TV shows where you say, like, previously on this show, our heroes pick up with. And I see Toby on the 5055 number. Am I correct?
Correct.
Oh, you successfully made it on. Baruch Hashem. Wonderful. And good to see you as well. Good to see you as well.
Thanks.
Gloria and Judd and Paul and Phyllis and Oliver. And I see Bubby over there, which you're holding down the fort till Zadie arrives, right? Okay, so you'll get to learn a little bit of Gemara with us as well. All right. A little Gemara never hurt. Well, actually, a little only a little Gemara could hurt someone because then you walk away with the wrong conclusions. But I think it'll be fine. Don't worry. Okay, so here we go, my friends. We find ourselves on the words Yardu Geshamim. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 lines from the top, if you're using the classic Tzuras Hadaf. And I would imagine it's probably still the first page in Art Scroll. Probably. All right. Okay, very good. Clearly a new section, a quotation from our Mishnah. So our Mishnah told us that if it starts raining, you can leave the sukkah. But when is that? Tana. Misha Tisrak HaMikveh Shel Grisin, when your porridge starts getting ruined from the rain. That's the threshold. So we have a story, though, that seems to challenge us. Abai Avakayasu Kamid Rav Yosef Bimitalalta. That Abai and Yosef, sorry, Rav Yosef, were sitting in the sukkah. Noshav Zigav Kamaisi Tzivusa. So then came the wind, and the wind blew pieces of the schach off on top of them. Amar lu Rav Yosef, pnu li mani mehacha, take all of my kelim, take my possessions inside. Amar le Abaye says to him, bafatz nan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, Misha Tisra Mikvah, you have to wait till your porridge gets ruined. Now you're just a little bit uncomfortable, right? So what right do you have to just leave the sukkah off some shavings from the schach falling down on top of you? So Amar le, Rav Yosef responds, and some of you might remember this from a 10:30 shiur possibly. Lididi came into Anina Dati Kamisha Tisrach HaMikvah Damili. For me, who is an Istinus, Tosa says it's the same, Tosa elsewhere says it's the same. That's what it means. It means I'm a delicate, how's it translate in Art Scroll? A delicate person, I would imagine, something along those lines.
Fastidious.
Fastidious. Ooh, excellent
Yes.
word. I wish I knew that word when I was writing up the article on the topic. Maybe before I
But
republish it again, I have to learn that word.
I think of fastidious as being the right, I don't think it's the right translation.
What's fastidious mean?
It means, though, you pay a lot of attention to detail,
So
that
you.
you're careful with things. Not that you are delicate.
So you're right. That
Steinfeld
sounds
says
almost like more
that.
like an OCD, maybe like
Steinfeld
an
says that.
OCD kind of reaction.
Steinfeld says delicate.
I was mechaved to Steinsaltz then. See, it's a
Yeah, that's.
machlokas, Art Scroll, and Steinsaltz. I always joke that in like 200 years, you're going to have someone giving a shiur, and he's going to be like, according to the Bali Art Scroll, this is how you read the Gemara. This is basic Pshat on the Gemara. According to the Bali, right? okay. So he said, Kamisha Tisra HaMikvah Damili. So for me, it's uncomfortable. So I'm not going to re-give a whole shiur right now. But Yesh Ladun, one could pose the following dichotomy, the following question here. This may just be yet another example of the principle of Mitztar Pater Min HaSukkah, that Rav Yosef is uncomfortable. Now, usually you don't get off mitzvos simply because you're uncomfortable. Or even if you're exceedingly uncomfortable, you still have to, as we say, man up and or woman up and do it. So why was he allowed to leave the sukkah? Because there's a localized principle called Teshu Kein Tedur, we learned last week that your sukkah should be like your house. And, if you would leave your house if you were uncomfortable, you're allowed to leave the sukkah as well. Another reading of this, which I think the Ritvaz and Or Zeruah understand, is that this is actually more of a generalized principle. It's a generalized principle in Kol HaTorah Kula that when one reaches a certain threshold of exceeding discomfort, it could exempt them from having to perform mitzvos that are causing them exceeding discomfort. It may only apply possibly to positive mitzvos. You might have to reach a threshold where you're basically, you know, it's not just something you're uncomfortable, but you're so uncomfortable, you're not able to function properly. You're not able to just do things normally. So if you want to see, I put during the summer, I put out an article on this topic, a halakhic article, and I made the argument, Bubby, don't tell mom and dad this one, that if one is exceedingly uncomfortable in the heat and they live in a colder region, right? If you're living in Florida or in Texas, you know, you don't have an excuse. But if you live in a colder region, right? You live in like Vermont or something, and you're very uncomfortable in the heat, maybe you're putter from moving to Eretz Yisrael, even if we hold like the Ramban that it's a mitzvah midoraisa. Now, whether there's an actual mitzvah to move to Eretz Yisrael is debatable. And we're going to do in a future shiur before Yom HaTzmaut, we're going to do a deep dive into Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion on whether there's a mitzvah to make aliyah. I'll spoil it. Spoiler alert. He believes it's called a mitzvah kiyumis, a very exotic and debatable category. Usually when you have a mitzvah means you have to do it, whether you like it or not. And you get reward if you do it. And if you don't do it, you receive some divine punishment somewhere on your scorecard. But Rav Moshe holds that nowadays, post-Beis HaMikdash, until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, if you move to Eretz Yisrael, you get bonus points. But if you don't, no harm, no foul. And we'll do a deep dive into his opinions on settling the land of Israel, as well as his opinions toward the state of Israel. Very fascinating to kind of track throughout his life how he dealt with different issues. He had a very fascinating, I was reading about this, I took off this past Shabbos, we were staying with friends, reconnecting, so I had a lot of time to read during davening in the morning, because I wasn't on, so I brought a whole stack of reading material with me, and I was glad I did, because davening felt like it took 3 hours, but I don't mind when I get to just, you know, learn. So I brought a lot of material on Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I was reading this article, Mesoras Moshe talks about his meeting with Menachem Begin. And it's very interesting to see how religious Zionists like Rabbi Dr. Ari Shvat wrote an excellent sefer called the Harim Et HaDegel. It's a whole book on the Israeli flag and its reception. He argues that Rav Moshe became more sympathetic to Zionism throughout his life and even somewhat supportive of it. I have a bit of a different – I'm not persuaded by his analysis, but you know what? This is a shiur coming up soon. So if you're interested, stay tuned. Somewhere either on the last days of Pesach or before Yom Ha – when is Yom HaTzmaut, by the way? Anyone know? I don't know. Okay. You know, it's funny. One of my colleagues, he sent a photo to us, obviously with no identifying – okay, then we'll get back to the Gemara. No identifying information. And he said, you know, the Tzionim, they got to this Gerus candidate, this conversion candidate. They asked the person, can you list all of the holidays in Jewish holidays in order? Sarai, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, et cetera, et cetera. And then it says like Yom HaShoah, Yom HaTzmaut. What's the other? There's another Yom, right? Yom Yerushalayim. And so he's like, so that was interesting, you know, like, do you rank that with the, when you ask someone like name the Jewish holidays, does it get ranked together or not? I guess it depends where you live. Okay, my friends. Anyway, back to the Gemara.
Rabbi, I asked a question. I'm sorry. So if it's pouring rain and you're getting soaking wet, that's not a reason to leave the sukkah.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. We're going to talk about soaking rain in just a second again. But yeah, basically, if it's soaking rain, you are allowed to go inside. That is the shear. Here, this case here, he was just uncomfortable. Like there were like leaves and shavings from the schach that were falling down on him.
Okay, but and you can't use an umbrella.
That's like public enemy number one.
And you can't use an umbrella.
For a separate reason, not necessarily
on Chol HaMoed, of course.
You're right, but on a, you know, on Sukkot itself, you know, you run into the issue of using an umbrella on Shabbos Yantif in general, and then you also run into the question of whether it creates an ohel interposing between you and the sukkah. Now we did say, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that an ohel arai a temporary kind of ohel is not going to be mevatel. It's not going to counteract an ohel keva, which is the sukkah. But anyway, all right, Zadie, good news. Guys, I did not do this intentionally, but I just went on like a 5-7 minute tangent. So Zadie, you only missed a few lines of the Gemara, so you're good to go. Okay. I'm sorry. I know you have Mincha Meyer at a different time than we do, and you have to get back. So, yeah. All right.
We're not coordinated with your shul.
Yeah, I know. We got to work that out. Poor Henry, all the way in Chicago. If Henry, if you're listening to this recording, we miss you, and we look forward to you coming back whenever the hours work out. All right. So we're up to the words Tanu Rabbanan on 29A. Chav Tes Samed Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan. Someone with the art scroll want to just give a shout out to where we're up to in the art scroll for those reorienting themselves.
Still 29A1.
29A1 toward the bottom, I presume.
Yeah.
Toward the end of 29A1. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Toby. All right. Here we go, my friends. Tanur Banan. Haya Ocha B'Sukkah V'Yerdi G'Shamim. If it starts raining when you're in the Sukkah, V'Yered, and you leave the Sukkah, Eim Matrich Nosso Lalos Ach Yigmur Sudaso. If you're in the middle of your meal and the rain stops, you do not need to go back into the Sukkah. Only once you finish your current meal and you want to start a new meal and the rain has stopped, would you have to re-enter the sukkah? Hayashin taks the sukkah. If you're sleeping in the sukkah, and then again, v'yardu g'shamim, and then the rain comes, v'yered, and you go down, you leave. Ein matrich nosso lalos ad she'yeor. You do not need to go back into the sukkah ad she'yeor. Now, here's the question. Yibaylehu. You could tell, you know, maybe already in times of the Talmud, they didn't know the difference between an ayin and an aleph, right? Ad sheya or ad sheya or, right? That probably was very far off. But is it with an ayin or an aleph? Now, what would be the difference between them? So ad sheya or is from the root, it's alvav reish. What does that mean? Not a true question. Light, right? Vahi or. So that means when it's light outside, that's when you would have to re-enter the sukkah. If it's ayin vav resh, that means to awaken. So that would mean even if it's not light yet, but you wake up in the middle of the night and you see it's not raining, you'd have to then go into the sukkah. Or also it can mean if you oversleep past daybreak, no one would have to wake you up. But when you get up, you'd have to go into the sukkah if you want to sleep some more. So the question is, what is the proper reading? So Tashma, Achia Or, so we have a Braisa, Achia Or V'yala Amud HaShachar, until it becomes light and the sun comes out. The light comes out. Yeah. So Tarti, that doesn't make any sense. Why is it, it's redundant. Why is it saying the same thing twice? Ela Ema, read it with an ayin, Achia Or V'yala Amud HaShachar. Until you wake up and it's Amud HaShachar, which means you could go lenient in both directions. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you do not need to go into the sukkah if it stopped raining. And if it's daytime, but you still haven't woken up yet, you also, no one needs to wake you up to go inside the sukkah. So this is one of those times that you actually have it good both ways. Okay. Now we're going to get to, we're going to refer back to our Mishnah. Judd, was there something?
Is that because it's really the same day, even though it's night and morning?
Does it have to do with it being the same day? What's the fundamental reason behind it? Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't look too deeply into the Mefarshim on this. Right, you're saying like what might be the fundamental difference? I think if I had to, you know, kind of guess, I'll regal achas on one foot. I think it kind of emerges from the principle of teshu kain tuduru. That, you know, again, you're supposed to, you know, kind of, well, maybe it's not teshu kain tuduru, it's not in the sukkah, but you're supposed to be able to live normally during sukkahs, it would seem. So we're not going to like kind of force you to do something weird and in middle of your normal sleep time, head over to the sukkah in the middle. Maybe I'm not sure. It's an interesting question, Judd. What's like fundamentally behind that?
And Rabbi, all the ideas about like going back in the morning presumes that it's not raining.
Yes, it does. Correct? Presume. Yeah. Correct. If it's still raining, the whole discussion is moot. Mm-hmm. Okay. The only time that maybe you're supposed to force yourself in when it's raining is the first night of Sukkot. Any other time, you should not do it. In fact, one is likened to what's the language it uses? Like I think like a chassid shota, maybe something along those lines. Okay. So if you remember the Mishnah said that when it rains, speaking of rain, when it rains on Sukkot, it's like taking that cup of wine and throwing it in his face. So the Gemara asks, right, Mashal Amad Aradoma, see, Bailahu, me shafach lemi, who's throwing the cup at who? At whom? Tashma Tanya shafach lo rabo kiton alpanav. It is the master who's throwing it in the face of the servant. Vamarlo efshi b'shimushecha. I don't want your services. Right? Because there's two ways we could have read it. One is that it's like the servant throwing in the face of the master, meaning when we sin in front of God, it's like throwing it in God's face. And as a result, we can't be in the sukkah. But the way that at least this brisa what would suggest is that it's God throwing the liquid in our face quite literally by making it rain. So it's not figurative, just figurative. It's quite literal. And now, my friends, I am so excited for this. I don't know if you believe in Hashgacha Pratis and divine providence, but if you didn't until tonight, you are going to now. Do you know what the next topic is we're going to talk about that we just so happened to get up to in the Gemara? We're going to be talking about solar eclipses.
Ooh.
I kid you not.
Yeah.
So if you didn't believe in divine providence until now, God orchestrated everything. So we'd be talking about solar eclipses right after solar eclipse just happened. Yeah.
This business about it's like Hashem throwing the wine in our face. That would be true in Israel when it's not normal to rain during Sukkot. But here in North America, it rains all year long, on and off.
Maybe it's God's way of cursing us for not being in Israel all year long, right? If I wanted to take a very Zionist stance on that, I'd say it's God telling us not to be in Chutz La'aretz. If we want to start darshaning. No, but I hear what you're saying, right? It's something that pertains more to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Okay, going forward. So here we are. Tanur Rabbanan, Bizmancha Chama Loka. When the sun is eclipsed, Simen Ra L'chol Olam Kulo. Good thing we didn't know this during the eclipse. It's a bad sign for the whole world, apparently. Mashal Amad Davar Doma, L'melech Baser V'dam. This is a mashal to, of course, imagine a human king. Shasa Suda L'Avadav, that he has a meal prepared for his servants, for all of his officers and servants. V'niach Fanas L'fnehem, and he has a candle holder and a candle put before them, cause the lame when he's angered at them. V'amar the avdo, he tells one of his servants who's immediately with him, tol fanas mi pnehem v'oshivim b'choshech, remove the candle and let them remain in the dark. So God is, when he puts his darkness on the world, so I guess you have to think about where there was totality in the United States, and maybe God had a particular message for those areas. God, I guess, was only partially incensed with us in Stanford. Only 86% or whatever the coverage was. Okay. But if you thought that was all we had to say about eclipses, oh no, there is so much more to talk about, my friends. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Zman Shem Oros Lokin, Simen Ra L'Sonem Shel Yisrael. Anytime that the celestial lights are covered, it is a bad omen for the Jewish people. That's a euphemism. Because we're so used to getting beaten up in Gullus, right? Mashal is sofer shabal the base of sefer. So imagine the teacher comes to a class one day. Ritzubiyado, he has the whip or the stick ready to go. He's angry. He's ready to whack somebody. So me doeg, who's going to be the most worried? Mishuraga lokos b'chol yom v'yomhu doeg, the student who usually gets on the bad side of the teacher and gets whacked, he's especially concerned that today he's going to be the prime target of this teacher who's not looking to mess around. So that's so the Jewish people, as we've seen throughout our exile, we've been so to speak, whacked many times over and over and over again. So we particularly get pretty scared when these things happen.
I would say just the opposite, that it's an opportunity to reconnect with Hashem.
It might be. Creation. And you know what? And it also might be nothing altogether, as the Gemara is going to tell us in just a moment. So, Tanur Rabbanan, Bizman Shechama Loka, Simen Ra L'Ovdei Kochavim. Here's a distinction. When the sun is eclipsed, it's a bad sign for the nations. Levana loka, simin ra'ah l'sanim shel Yisrael. But when the moon is eclipsed, that's a bad sign for the Jews. Why? Well, you can imagine. Because we keep the lunar calendar, they keep the solar calendar. So for us, we look at the moon as a symbol, and they look at the sun as a symbol. Then some other details to be aware of. If the eclipse happens in the east, it's bad for those who live in the east. If it happens in the west, it's bad for those in the west. If it's right in the middle, right on top of the sky where it happens, you know what? It's a bad sign for everyone equally. Yay. Panav Dom Ladam, if it looks red, it means that there's going to be a lot of swords and murder coming to the world. Lesak, which has, I think, a more of a blackish color. Chitzei Ra'av, Bain La'olam, then, you know, the pangs of hunger are going to come to the world. Lezo, lezo, and if it's both, guess what? Cherva Chitzei Ra'av, Bain La'olam, you get war and famine. Laga B'chnisaso, Puranus Shoha, if it only eclipses as the sun is setting, it means that whatever terrible things will befall us are going to be delayed. Lavo. And if it's when the sun's first coming out, is coming up, then it means that the Puranos are going to come very quickly. Some say it means the opposite. And every nation that's punished, it's not deity, but you have to understand it as like referring to their angel that represents them, is punished along with them. Shnemar, it's relevant for Pesach, v'chol Elohei Mitzrayim aseh shvatim. God's going to judge the gods of the Egyptians. That wasn't mean to judge the gods of the Egyptians, or v'chanan wasserman. This will be in our Shal Shis. I'm going to do it over Shabbos. I'm going to offer it Sunday morning as well. Pesach Seder Insights, so v'chanan wasserman says that, you know, the gods of Egypt changed from generation to generation. In his time, it was socialism and communism. Nowadays, you can insert whatever you want. It could be wokeism, it could be Trumpism, whatever you want. Everyone has their own ism. And the common denominator is that many people seek to either append it to or replace Judaism with it. So the only ism, as my Rebbeim in Masifta in high school would tell me, for a Jew is Judaism. Okay. Ubizman Sheyisrael. Oh, so here's the important part for Phyllis. Ubizman Sheyisrael osim rotzono shamakom. And when we're doing the will of God, ein misyar mikol elu. You don't need to worry about any of this. So this is just... apparently, there's a whole debate. This comes up in Arvei Pesach in many places as well, about to what degree the rabbis actually believed in all these omens. One theory is that the rabbis did not believe in any of these omens, right? Lo sinachashu. You're not supposed to, you know, make decisions based on omens, right? But they understood that living in Babylonian society, all the Baal Batim had kind of fallen head over heels for all these, you know, astrology predictions. So what they did was they tried to kind of, you know, you could either fight it, or you could acknowledge that that's what everyone kind of believes, but see how you could kind of, you know, maybe shift and move the needle a little bit. So they'll acknowledge these things and say, but you know what, guys, when you're doing mitzvos, you're protected from all these omens. So it's a good way to twist it. So, right, that's always the question that in my line of work, we always have to ask when we see something that doesn't seem to comport with the Torah. Do we put our foot down and, you know, this is the hill we die on, or do we try to work with what we have and see where we can move the needle? May depend on the situation, the severity, the likelihood of change. Anyway, not the place for that. So Shnemar, Koamar Shem El Derech Hagoyim Al Talam Dumeo. So Sashemaim Al Techasu Kiechasu Hagoyim Mehema. So what we learn from here is from this pasuk is Odi Kochami Yechasu. The nations should be concerned about these omens, Bein Yisrael Yechasu, but the Jewish people need not be concerned with these omens. So long as we follow the ways of the Torah, all of these omens are immaterial. Tanur Rabbanan. So I'm in this big rabbis WhatsApp group, and when was the earthquake? It was on Monday or Friday? Sorry, it was Friday or it was on Friday, right? That happened? The earthquake? Was it Friday or Thursday?
Yes, Friday.
Friday, okay.
Friday, no, Friday.
Right. Okay, so in this WhatsApp group last Friday, all these rabbis after him said, oh my gosh, I have to talk about it on Shabbos. Anyone have any good material to talk about earthquakes in their drasha? So then someone quoted this Gemara over here we're about to read, but he emphasized a certain part of it, which then became a whole controversy in the rabbis group. It was a lot of fun watching. I have a sub rabbis group for young rabbis. It's just like a few of us in it, and we all like were having our side group, you know, with popcorn and everything when this was taking place. You'll see what I mean. There are four reasons that the sun is eclipsed. On the head of a beis din who dies and he's not eulogized properly. About a young woman who is engaged, who cries out in the city of Emoshila, no one comes to rescue her. Mishkav Zachar on homosexual relations. Val Shnei Achin Shenishbach Daman Keechad, and two brothers whose blood is spilled as one. We got a Rashi on that one. Where's Rashi? Why am I not finding Rashi on here? Okay, whatever. So who's going to guess which reason one of the rabbis in the group decided to pick out?
Homosexual relations.
Very good. Ding, ding, ding. So one rabbi, he quotes the Gemara, but he just mentioned this one. And so another rabbi was like, well, why did you pick out only that one? He said, well, this is the challenge that we have today. And it was like a whole back and forth. And we were like all in the other group, like with our popcorn saying like, you know, all right, let's see where this goes. So that's, if you ever wonder what happens in rabbis' WhatsApp groups. So anyway, Ubishvil, the only other thing happens in rabbis' WhatsApp groups is everyone spams with their Divrei Torah. You know, because every rabbi writes a weekly Dvar Torah, so every rabbi wants to promote their Dvar Torah. So everyone just like spams and puts their Dvar Torah in the group. So I've muted the group since then because I'm like, there's nothing going on in here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, right? That's how you guys all feel when I spam you with all my stuff, right? All right. Ubishvil arba dvar maoros lokin, and because of four things, the celestial lights, I guess the stars and stuff, they also are eclipsed. Akusve plastar. So this Rashi tells us, refers to, there's a Rashi on here, shtars muziyafim, on like forged documents. Vameida either sheker, those who testify falsely. Vamegadi behema dakabaritz, are those who raise smaller animals that usually will steal from other people's field. Vakotse ilanos tovas, and cutting down the good trees that God has blessed us with. Uvashil dadvarm nixi baile batim nimsarn lamalchus. Because of four things, people's property gets seized by the government. Al Mishahi Shtaros Purim, on retaining, right? Mishnah people and Bava Basra, right? We learned that once you pay off a debt, you're supposed to get the original document back as a receipt that you have paid off the debt. So if the guy retains it, that the lender retains it, so he can then collect again from you. That is, of course, awful and terrible. Vamlavi Baribis, and those who lend on interest. Someone has the ability to protest but does not do so, meaning against a violation of the Torah. This is a good fundraiser one. And when they ask and they appeal for tzedakah publicly and nobody gives. Right? So keep this one in mind for next Yom Kippur appeal or something. You could quote this Gemara over here. So if you don't want the government coming and seizing all your property, you better give to this next fundraiser that we're doing, right? So I have to keep that one in my back pocket. We'll end over here. And anyway, I Hashgacha brought this. That was pretty cool. What do you know? Right after a solar eclipse, our next year was about solar eclipses and so much more. All right.
Rabbi, it's only like another few sentences left in this chapter.
I know. But then I have no material to work with next week. Then I have nothing left. We're going to make the scene right before Pesach.
Chapter 3.
What?
Is there a chapter 3? Is there a chapter?
No, there is, but then like if we finish and then we start the mission, and I have only a few words left for next year because we keep to an Amud schedule. So all right, so we'll keep you, we have to give you a reason to be excited to come back next week. So we're actually gonna end right over here. What?
That's your protocol.
That's my protocol. Exactly. I leave everyone off on a cliffhanger. So we'll finish Merit, God willing, next week and start the third paragraph as well, God willing. And then we come into Pesach, hopefully, with a major accomplishment under our belt. All right. I will be here through Shabbos and Sunday. Again, I'll be away Monday through Wednesday. The only thing that changes is just I'm not here for the Monday night base medrash. Obviously, people are welcome to come to the Base Measure Learn without me as well. It's open during Monday nights anyway, but just making you aware. And also, I think next week, my evening class is moved to 8 o'clock. It should reflect on the schedule, but 8 o'clock. All right. Have a good night and a good Shabbos to all.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.